You all get to sit down. This gospel begins Holy Week every year, and it's such a powerful liturgy, Palm Sunday liturgy, and the procession from another place into the church while we're holding up our palms, joining the crowds some 2,000 years ago, who we see the best of humanity, the best of faith in them. Because it's this zeal for the Lord, it's this excitement, it's this faith, it's this utter jubilation. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And we sang beautifully as we came in that beautiful procession. It was just as chaotic and just as glorious, more so even back in those days. And then 4 days later, the Palm Sunday liturgy takes us there, where those same voices that had praised the Lord and sung hosannas from the tops of their lungs and the bottoms of their hearts are saying now, crucify him, crucify him. And lest we forget, it wasn't just the world or the crowd that is shouting this. It's his disciples. It is the very people that Jesus had lived with, had done life with for years. They heard him preach. They heard him teach. And they sat at his feet and learned. They loved him. And they saw him do miracles. They received miracles. And now they say, crucify him. When Jesus tells Judas, friend, do what you have come for. Jesus recognizes even there Judas as a friend. But this crowd, this disciples, everybody turns away on him. Why did they change their tune? Why did they go from Hosanna, Hosanna, you're the best, Lord, to crucify you, crucify you? How did that happen? When I was in middle school, I played basketball. I'm a Bloomington boy, and I played at St. Charles in Bloomington. I had different coaches, and one of the coaches we had, they were very different, these two. And you never know who watches on live stream, so I probably shouldn't mention him today, but I did last night. But anyway, one of them, he was all about winning. And it was all about, we're going to crush the opponent. This coach was in his young 20s, and he used to spit when he talked, you know. And I learned quickly, you don't stand right next to him when he's telling you the next play and all those different things, because you're going to get a shower. And but he was all about winning, despite all, no matter what, let's crush everybody else. Well, then we got a different coach. And the next coach was not so interested in winning at all, but he wanted to win. But it was more about, I want to instill virtue in you, young men. I want you to learn sacrifice, hard work, perseverance, teamwork. And I want you to learn these things because it's not about a game. It's about life. And these two coaches are very different. What people wanted in Jesus was the first kind of coach I described. They wanted the Messiah. They thought that the Messiah would come and crush the Romans, make a bloodbath of them, take them off, wipe them away. Destruction. That's what they expected. And Jesus comes along not with a message of destruction, but with the message of, I want to make you saints. And that didn't sound so good to them all of a sudden. And then Jesus, they came to realize, like, they wanted him to do miracles on their terms. They expected him to be a magician. And then Jesus says, that's not how I work. They were probably afraid that Jesus is going to topple over everything we know, everything that is routine for us. This Jesus is going to threaten. He is threatening. And so they crucify him. They changed their tune from praise to condemnation. And I wonder if our hearts aren't just as fickle sometimes, huh? Sometimes our hearts can be just as fickle, just as changing with the wind. On the day of our confirmation, we say, "Yes, Lord, you will always be the center of my life. I can't wait to serve you my whole life." And then we know what happens sometimes, oftentimes. Parents get their kids baptized. Yep, I'm going to do everything to get this kid to heaven. It's my goal. Then they stop going to Mass. We go to confession. We make the most sincere acts of contrition. I'm never doing that again. And then we do it. Our hearts are just as fickle as these people right here. Sometimes we expect, just like they did, that Jesus is going to do everything on our terms. And the minute that God begins to work in a different way, crucify you. We think of Jesus sometimes as a vending machine, where we put in some prayers, and then he gives us what we want. And the minute that what comes out isn't what we want, crucify you. Or the minute that life gets hard, and we realize that there is such a thing as a cross in our own life, that's not the God I signed up for. Crucify you. We can be very fickle, we human beings. The good news is Jesus still calls us friend. And the good news is he still calls us his beloved. He tells us in our gospel today, he tells the disciples, he says, "Your faith will be shaken." It will be. And he's the one that shakes it, even when it says that when he walked into Jerusalem, there was a shaking going on. And our faith will be shaken. Our job is to be constantly with Jesus. Constantly with Jesus. In the good, in the bad, in the ups and the downs of his life and in ours. We stick with him when it's hard. We stick with him when it doesn't go like we expect it to go. We stick with him not just when he says nice things that make us feel good, but when he says things that challenge us and make us realize we do have to change. We stick with him in the resurrection, but we stick with him in the crucifixion too. And our fickle hearts don't want anything to do with that stuff, but we know we need it if we want the good stuff. No cross, no glory. It's just the way it is. It's the way Jesus gives us. And we stick with him. That's the fidelity that he deserves. It's the fidelity our souls need to have if they want to have eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.